This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. Every Friday during the legislative session, we catch up with CPR's Capitol reporter, Megan Verlee. And one of the things we've learned in these chats is that state politics is a process of trial and error. Bills are proposed, they die, they're brought back the next year, maybe they die again, and some eventually become law. And Megan, we're going to run through a few of these trial and error bills.
Okay.
It's the second year in a row for an attempt to create civil unions in Colorado.
It is, and there are actually a few similar attempts even further in the past. Civil unions finally made it out of the Senate this week. That wasn't any surprise. It's always been a shoo-in in that democratically controlled chamber. During the Senate debate, there was a lot of attention on Senator Sean Mitchell. He's a Republican, and early in his legislative tenure, he was actually very outspokenly anti-gay in his policies. Well, last year, he wrote that his thinking was starting to change when it comes to civil unions, and on Wednesday, he talked about that on the Senate floor.
I no longer believe with any confidence that acknowledging the needs of same-sex families is an important driver or would be an important driver in the pressures on traditional families. And so for that reason, I struggle and I'm inclined to support this bill and want to support it. But we also know that there are other consequences from changing policy.
Consequences, Mitchell said, like requiring religiously based adoption agencies down the line to place children with same-sex couples, or maybe asking a marriage therapist who doesn't agree with civil unions to give counseling to people in them. So in the end, Mitchell actually didn't vote for the bill. A yes vote from him might have really helped it in the House, where it faces really long odds. There aren't that many House Republicans who said they might vote for it. None of them are likely to be on the committee it goes to. We're thinking the bill's next hearing will likely be its last this year.
Okay, so we may be in the 11th hour for the civil unions bill. The House this week killed another perennial bill, one that would have reduced tuition at Colorado colleges and universities for undocumented students in the state. What happened there?
This was the sixth try by Democrats in recent years to lower tuition for these students who currently pay out-of-state tuition rates if they can afford to go, which advocates say few of these students can. The bill passed the House Education Committee on Monday, with Republican Tom Massey joining the panel's Democrats to get it through. It died Wednesday on a party-line vote in House Finance. And one thing I thought was interesting, the Republicans on the panel were actually very mild in the tone of their objections. Kathleen Conte from Centennial did take a very hard line, but otherwise there was a lot of sympathy expressed for the situation these young people are in. But Republicans on the panel said this isn't the right way to fix it. Committee Chair Brian Del Grosso told the sponsor he agreed with everything she was saying, but that the issue they really should tackle is making college affordable for everyone.
I see this as we are setting up a tuition rate to make it affordable for a small group of folks, but we're ignoring the fact that it is expensive for all.
Sponsors, I should say, have vowed to bring this back again and again until it passes.
So a seventh time next
session.
Okay. That wasn't the only big education bill up this week. At the same time on Wednesday, the Senate Education Committee heard a bill that would put new emphasis on reading in the early grades. And when we talked last week, Megan, you said this had turned into a fight among Senate Democrats. What happened there?
Well, it looks like they managed to work things out amongst themselves because the bill is moving forward. The big thing was that opponents were worried about this becoming a giant unfunded mandate for schools after years of budget cuts. Now, I didn't cover this hearing. Our education reporter, Jenny Brundin, did. So I asked her, what's the compromise?
It really tries to target the money at a much smaller group of kids, the kids that are really struggling, that perhaps are quite a bit behind other kids. That would affect about 20,000 kids instead of 80,000 under the original bill. The next amendment that is probably the most significant is there were many complaints from teachers, school districts, and others that there really wasn't any significant money attached to this bill. Now, there's about $21 million altogether. They're taking a big chunk of money, $16 million, in the interest revenue from a state land trust. And so what this really means is that there will be about $700 per kid that has a serious reading problem to help pay for things like after-school tutoring and summer school or making the school year longer, whatever the district chooses to do. And that's substantially more than the approximately $200 per kid that they would have had in the original version of the bill.
CPR's education reporter Jenny Brundin there, and we're chatting with Megan Verlee, our Capitol reporter. Megan, there was an announcement by House Republicans this week that they want to do something for victims of the Lower North Fork fire in Jefferson County last month. It killed three people, destroyed many more homes. It started as a controlled burn by the State Forest Service, and currently the state's liability for the entire incident is capped at $600,000. Republicans want to raise that. Why?
Well, they say it's about compassion for the people who lost homes and family members. Here's Representative Bob Gardner, one of the sponsors.
We have the ability as a legislature, with the signature of the governor, to set up a claims commission and to pay claims. We have the ability to appropriate money. Our goal is to do so in a fair and equitable way.
Well, I put this issue to the governor, John Hickenlooper, this week, and he didn't say it was a terrible idea by any means, but he has an awful lot of questions about the possible repercussions.
He's not the only one. Attorney General John Southers, who's a Republican, is also pretty concerned about this proposal. He sits on the state's claims board, the body that doles out money when the state is liable for something. And he says it is time to look at raising that $600,000 cap in general. But he really objects to the idea of doing it for just this single event, which is what House Republicans are proposing. He pointed out that Colorado has been liable for all sorts of terrible accidents in recent years.
We had some fairly egregious malpractice claims. All those people have to deal within the confines of the governmental immunities law and the caps set by the state. And for the legislature in particular case to say, oh, this is terrible, we're going to treat this case differently than all the other cases that the state has, I just don't think is appropriate.
Megan, out of curiosity, when he says malpractice, what kind of incidents is he referring to?
Well, he did actually specifically mention state-run nursing homes. You know, he mentioned traffic accidents, state vehicles driven by state workers in the line of work. There was a bridge that collapsed on I-70 and killed an entire family. When Southers started talking about it, you realized that the Lower North Fork fire was a terrible tragedy, but the state is liable in a lot of things.
Well, here you've got the Republican attorney general who's pretty concerned about Republicans over in the House. What's going on here?
I think it's important to remember that nothing happens without a political element at the state capitol. House Republicans jumped out with this proposal without calling any Democrats in the legislature first. They didn't talk to the governor. That's not usually how you build widespread bipartisan support for something. And they did it a day after the governor had a press conference defending the cap. So while I'm sure there is also a great desire to help the folks harmed by the fire, this could be looked at as a pretty cunning political move as well.
Megan, what's on tap for next week at the legislature, one of the final weeks here?
Everything. Everything's on tap. It's the second to last week of the session. There's still a lot out there. Lawmakers have been introducing bills this week. So schedules are intensely chaotic. Anything and everything that's still alive could show up and have a hearing or a vote next week.
Okay. Megan, thanks so much.
Thank you, Ryan.
Megan Verlee covers the state capitol for Colorado Public Radio, and she speaks with us Fridays during session.